Hello, everyone, and welcome to the National Geographic Society program, brought to you by Sun Sounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. I'm your Sun Sounds volunteer reader. I'm reading articles published by the Geographic Society in March of 2025. So we'll start out with this very timely article. What toll does spaceflight take on astronauts? Here's what we know. It's by Liz Crucy. Over the past five decades, under 700 humans have flown in space. Nearly every one of these humans were professionally trained astronauts and in similar peak physical condition. And most of those astronauts were men. But in 2021, the first space mission with four civilian astronauts, meaning not government agency astronauts, flew. It opened a new path for the scientists to study the effects of spaceflight on human biology. On June 11, 2024, more than 200 of those researchers published a suite of 44 papers across multiple Nature journals. These papers are helping to build a foundation, a baseline of sorts, to understand not just how being in space affects the human body, but how scientists can mitigate those effects. Humanity is a long way from being an interplanetary species, but this is the very first step on what will be many steps to prepare for the Moon and Mars, says Weill Cornell Medicine's Christopher Mason, the biophysicist and physician who led the data accumulation and analysis behind the papers. These data are also showing scientists how the human body reacts under extreme stress, both physically and cognitive. We really need to know how the human condition reacts to the radiation and the extreme acceleration forces. In addition to changes in the body's circadian rhythm, or sleep cycle, says Stanford geneticist Michael Snyder, who was not involved in these recent papers. As more humans make the journey to space, prepare for trips to the moon and beyond, or even get stuck, like career astronauts Sunita Williams and Barry Wilmore, it's important to have a complete picture of the body's response. These varied studies show that just a few days in space affects biology in ways that don't seem to reverse, and they're starting to hint at differences between females and males. Studying the body in space. When human space missions took flight in the 1960s, space health investigations began. Apollo astronauts wore biosensor harnesses to monitor the heart and lungs and underwent thorough physical exams and tests pre-flight and post-flight. The astronauts experienced back pain from microgravity, flashes of light from radiation, and other health changes. But this was just the start. Over the past two decades, the International Space Station, or ISS, has served as an orbiting biological laboratory to investigate everything from bacterial changes to bone loss to brain deformation. Then in 2015, biologists had the unique opportunity to better understand how the environment of space environment affects biology at the smallest scales. In an experiment NASA called the Twins Study, one astronaut, Scott Kelly, boarded the ISS for a year, and his identical twin, Mark Kelly, who was also an astronaut, stayed on the ground. By directly comparing identical twins, biologists could study the genetic effects of space. When Scott returned to Earth, his telomeres, the ends of chromosomes that act to protect genetic material, had lengthened. but Scott Kelly was a sample size of only one space traveler. In addition, most astronauts in the decades of previous scientific studies were U.S. or Russian men who had been trained for years to make the trip to space. A 2021 SpaceX mission, Inspiration 4, presented researchers with an opportunity to study space health in more varied space travelers. The mission, called Inspiration 4, would have four private astronauts who collectively cover a wider variety of ages, ancestries, and biomedical backgrounds. They are representative of a broader swath of humanity, says Mason. Mason and many of his colleagues on the new collection of papers had also worked on the twins study. The team already had a suite of experiments that had flown in space and that had been validated up the wazoo in astronauts, says Matthias Bastner of the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine, who studies human behavior and cognition. The researchers would develop those tests further for the Inspiration 4 mission to study a broader collection of the human biological system. The team examined blood, urine, stool, saliva, and sweat samples, in addition to skin biopsies. They also included behavior and cognitive set of tests and sleep data. These tests were performed before flight, during flight, and post-flight, and all of those data were inputted into a growing biometric database known as the Space Omics and Medical Atlas, or SOMA, organized and maintained by Mason and his colleagues. The catalog, published in June, includes detailed data collected over the past decade from dozens of NASA and Japanese Space Agency astronauts, 12 private spacefarers, who, where four were on the Inspiration 4 mission, and a control group of 10 people who climbed Mount Everest. Researchers also used animal data from experiments aboard the ISS to better understand the effects of space on the body. We're now starting to get sketches of what our baseline measurements for blood work, for radiation, for what happens in genes and your immune system in spaceflight, says Mason. Even short trips alter biology. On September 15, 2021, just after 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the Inspiration 4 mission launched with four civilian astronauts. Roughly 3 days later, the capsule and its crew splashed down in the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Florida. Upon analyzing the data, one of the most surprising results, says Mason, was that we saw a lot of the same signatures of spaceflight that we saw on longer missions. That indicates there's a dosage of spaceflight that you can start to see in the body, he adds. Like in the twin study, telomeres lengthened, he says. The elongated telomeres, likely a result of radiation exposure, say the researchers, and related genes activation, may help protect DNA from harmful radiation. Many changes didn't revert after returning to Earth's surface, even multiple months after they came back. You'd think people would bounce back faster than they did, says Schneider. The Inspiration 4 astronauts' microbiomes also changed over only those few days. It's intriguing to see how quickly their skin becomes like each other and the spacecraft, says Mason. While the crew's skin microbes grew more similar and their mouth microbes changed, the researchers didn't see the same changes to their intestines. When gene expression and microbiome changes are some of the microscopic scale effects of space, there are also macroscopic effects, including cognition and behavior. To test behavior and cognitive ability during flight, researchers looked at 10 intellectual and mental domains, says Basner, like memory, attention, abstraction, risk decision-making, emotion recognition. Our behavior is like a combination of all of these, but we try to disentangle that, he says, to see if one of those domains are more effective than others. The Inspiration4 crew exhibited cognitive decline early in flight, and the average was driven mostly by one crew member, says Basner. Cognition leveled out during the rest of the flight and returned to normal once the crew returned to ground. Behavior-wise, the crew was a more positive post-flight, he adds. But that just hinted to the fact that they were happy that they made it back to the ground safely. How females compare to males. The SOMA database is open access, publicly available to biologists for their own research. Everyone comes with their own perspective, says Mason. They see the biology through their own lens, and then see the questions with their own perspective. That's how Begum Mathic, a doctor of obstetrics and gynecology at the University of South Florida, became involved. It's not much different for me to say, you know, advocate for women's health on Earth or beyond, she says. Mathic and her colleagues' analysis of the Inspiration4 blood and urine samples showed changes to genes associated with the hormone estrogen, which is involved in the reproductive system, but also in muscles, the brain, and other bodily systems. They found genetic changes to the way the estrogen-related reactions work in space, with more changes in the female's B cells than in males. B cells are related to autoimmune diseases, which tend to affect women more than men. These hormone changes also affect the body's responses to infections, says Mathic. Genes associated with how insulin regulates blood sugar also changed during those few days in space. These changes suggest that space flight may impair metabolism and the immune system, adds Mathic. They noted other changes to immune cells as well, and these changes took longer to return to normal in the males than in the females after the flight ended. These cells relate to how the body reacts to inflammation, and some also relate to blood clotting. While the microbiology showed slight differences between males and females, there were no behavior or cognitive sex differences, says Basner. Radiation can have negative effects on the ovaries and uterus, and maintaining sleep cycles in space is important for a functioning reproductive system, Mathic and her colleagues stressed in a review paper looking at data from Inspiration4 crew, JAXA astronauts, and animals. Studies of mice and their embryos suggest space is an unfavorable environment for reproduction, she says, but it's not easy to conclude or project all the data to the human because we are more complex, adds Mathic. Researchers will have more data soon. Mathic is part of a proposal to fly a handheld ultrasound device on an upcoming SpaceX mission to image female reproductive organs, including the uterus and ovaries. And additional private and government missions are incorporating these tests. Plus, the SOMA database is already growing. It now holds biological information from the private flights Axiom 2 and the pre-flight samples for Polaris Dawn, which is scheduled for launch this summer. Researchers will also add Axiom 3 data later this summer, says Mason. Beyond simply understanding the biology of the human body in space, the Atlas and the work that results could lead to ways to counteract these effects, including custom tailoring specific medications to someone's genetic background. There's a lot more coming, says Mason. That's the end of the article. The title was, What Toll Does Spaceflight Take on Astronauts? Here's What We Know, by Liz Crucy. The next article is titled, How Do Seals Know How Long to Hold Their Breath? By Tim Vernonman. Seals can do many things humans can't, of course, but a clever experiment in Scotland has just uncovered a new ability. A study published in Science this week suggests that the marine mammals can sense the amount of oxygen in their blood and change their diving behavior in response. All animals extract oxygen from the air they breathe in and release carbon dioxide from their blood in the air they exhale. Most mammals can't directly detect oxygen levels in the blood supplying their tissues. Instead, they rely on the rising level of CO2 in their blood to signal that they might need to take a breath. Most researchers might have assumed that even excellent divers like seals relied on those signals. But the new experiments in gray seals show that the animals flexibly respond to changing oxygen levels, which may be what keeps them from drowning, says lead author Chris McKnight, a physiologist at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. If McKnight and his colleagues are correct, this could help explain why human free divers so often black out before they make it to the surface. And it opens the possibility that other diving animals could sense their blood oxygen levels too. All you can eat seafood. To find out if oxygen levels affected seal behavior, McKnight and his colleagues created a special section in a pool where young gray seals were temporarily held before being returned to the wild. In one corner, there was a breathing chamber where they were sheltered from the rain and wind. Very quickly, they shifted from surfacing in the swimming pool to choosing to breathe inside the chamber, he recalls. The breathing chamber was surrounded by panels that prevented surface swimming, yet swimming below the surface for about 200 feet would give the seal access to a feeder where it could eat as much fish as it liked. McKnight explains, usually a lot of it. Once the seals were familiar with the setup, the researchers started to very gradually change the composition of the air in the breathing chamber, increasing or reducing the levels of oxygen and CO2. We did this very carefully and just enough to see an effect on their behavior, McKnight adds. And sure enough, the higher the level of oxygen, the longer the seals stayed at the feeder. This suggests to us that seals don't just physically respond to oxygen levels by changing their heart rate or respiration, but they are sufficiently aware of them to change their behavior, says McKnight. Other older experiments have sometimes shown that animals try to get away from very low oxygen environments or show signs of stress. The seals don't do that, says McKnight. Yet since it affects the length of their dives, they do seem somehow aware of their blood oxygen levels. Free diving. This ability would put seals in a class beyond any land mammals that have been tested. Since oxygen levels on land are pretty constant, humans and other terrestrial animals don't seem to have evolved to notice low oxygen levels in their blood, sometimes not even when they're about to pass out. In humans, free diving without oxygen tanks, accidents are quite common. Our reliance on sensing CO2 levels in our blood instead of oxygen may be to blame, says McKnight. This is a perfectly sensible strategy on land, where accumulating CO2 tends to signal breathing issues, he explains. But when holding our breath during diving, relying on CO2 levels is risky, especially on repeated dives. Every time we surface and inhale, we reset our CO2 sensitivity, even if levels are already high, says McKnight. This increases the chance that a person will unwittingly pass out before they get to the surface, even in expert-free divers who train to ignore high CO2 levels during long dives. Peter Lindholm, a dive physiologist at the University of California, San Diego, wonders what a similar experiment in humans might reveal. Seeing this study, I think I should redo this with free divers to see if we can find individuals that sense oxygen levels or are more tolerant to CO2 levels, he says. Well, they wouldn't need to eat the fish, of course, just hold their breath. In humans, breathing the highest level of CO2 used in the study would be extremely uncomfortable, says animal physiologist Andreas Fallman of the Oceanographic Foundation in Spain. In addition to the surprising sensitivity to oxygen, he says, it has been proposed that marine mammals have a blunted CO2 response, as if their sensitivity is set to a very different level than ours, which may be another reason why seals are more sensitive to oxygen levels than we are. Enjoyable experiments. To some researchers, the study raises new questions that haven't quite been answered yet. The experimental data support the study's conclusions, but they are not unequivocal, says zoologist William Milsom of the University of British Columbia, who studies how animals living in extreme environments control breathing and blood flow. There is no doubt these seals change their diving behavior in response to changes in inhaled oxygen. But without more detailed physiological data, it is difficult to definitively say why the low oxygen dives were shorter. Physiologist Matthew Parmeter of the University of Ottawa, who has studied the response of subterranean mole rats to low oxygen and high CO2 levels, believes more experiments might reveal oxygen and CO2 both affect dive duration. He is also not entirely convinced the seal's response to low oxygen is different from that seen in some other mammals. The ability proposed in this study seems like an amplified version of the same sensitivity, he says. McKnight doesn't think the seals are merely responding to very low oxygen levels, as opposed to taking into account a wider range of levels. One of the seals we've tracked in the wild a couple of years ago went down to almost 2,000 feet, he says. Seals ascend at about 4 feet per second, so if they'd only respond at very low oxygen levels, they'd never make it back in time. That being said, he does believe that a similar sense likely exists in other diving animals. There are older experiments in ducks, turtles, and crocodiles that closely mirror the seal's behavior, says McKnight, but they weren't set up in a way that would allow the conclusions made in this study. They could now be repeated following a similar animal-friendly approach. The seals were eager to participate, he says, even though they were well-fed. If they wouldn't want to do it, we couldn't make them. But as soon as we opened the gate to this section of the pool, they pop right in. And that completes the article. The title of the article was, How Do Seals Know How Long to Hold Their Breath? By Tom Verneman. And that completes the broadcast today. This has been the National Geographic Society program, brought to you by Sunsounds of Arizona. My name is Chuck Berry. It's been my privilege to be your Sunsounds volunteer reader today. I hope you enjoyed the program. The articles were all issued by the Geographic Society in March of 2025. Stay well, stay safe, have a wonderful week, and keep listening to Sunsounds of Arizona with its premium programming. And if you missed a program you'd like to hear, go to the sunsounds.org website, click on Broadcast Info and Audio on the next page, then on the following page, click on Demand Podcasts. You'll see a list of programs available. Hopefully, you'll find the one you're looking for. Thank you so much for spending your time with me today.